It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
On a Friday, we welcome you in. It's time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We've got a lot coming up on this Friday edition of the program. This hour, Luke Korak's going to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the Blues, what happened last night. I'll give you my thoughts on that in just a moment or so. Later on this hour, we'll hear a little bit from Battlehawks head coach Anthony Becht, the team announcing today that they have moved on from quarterback A.J. McCarron, that there's going to be a new starting quarterback for the Battlehawks moving forward. Next hour, we're going to talk with sports business reporter Dan Kaplan. We'll talk with him about what went down with the Bally Sports, FanDuel Sports, Diamond Sports situation and coming out of bankruptcy, which is really not that we spend a lot of time talking about coming out of bankruptcy on this show, but it's a what went down to get them out of bankruptcy was actually pretty remarkable. And our weekly Friday conversation with Kevin Wheeler, that comes up in about 7:30 or so, in an hour and 20 to hour 25 minutes or so. We'll have that for you. I want to jump right into the Blues. They lose again last night. They for a second straight game, they had a lead in the third period and they can't hold on to it. More reasons to be frustrated. I was certainly frustrated. They take the lead into the third period. It looks like Buffalo has scored the equalizer. The Blues catch a break on what I thought was kind of a 50-50 decision by officials to call for goalie interference. So the equalizer came off the board, and the Blues keep the lead. And then eventually Buffalo does score. And then the way things finished in the last 45 seconds of regulation really frustrated me. Blues commit a penalty, and with overtime coming up, the Sabres decide to just hold on to the puck with the idea that they're going to take a 4-on-3 for a full 2 minutes in the overtime period, and the Blues just sit back and let them do it. They don't really do it. They're well into sitting back before the Blues actually realized what was happening and try to attack the puck a little bit, and it was too late. So they get the full 2 minutes of a 4-on-3 going into overtime. And what do you know? 90 seconds, of course 90 seconds into the power play, Buffalo scores the winner. Where, hey, if the Blues would have attacked right away and forced the first 35, 40 seconds of that power play in regulation, 30 seconds, 25 seconds, whatever. Maybe it's a little bit different. So that I was just frustrated watching that. And then, look, I'm really not trying to just kill this guy every day. I don't wake up in the morning going, man, you know what? Today on Sports Open Line, I'm going to take more shots at Drew Bannister. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm rooting for Drew Bannister. I'm rooting for the Blues. I want them to do well. I want the Bannister hire to be a fantastic hire. I want this guy to do lots of good things with this team. I am rooting for him. And I also think he's a perfectly fine hockey coach. I don't think he's great. I think he's young. Maybe he grows into the job a little bit more. We have this conversation sometimes about Oliver Marmol, about how he grows into a job as a guy who took on that job at a very young age. For Bannister, doesn't have NHL head coaching experience. There's a lot of new stuff. But I was frustrated. I was frustrated last night reading some of his quotes and then listening to them as well. So this is what Jordan Kyrou was held off the ice for about the final 5 minutes or so of regulation. He was back on the ice for overtime, but he was held off the ice for the final 5 minutes or so of regulation, as the Blues evidently were trying to at least preserve the point that they did end up getting because it was an overtime loss. But this was Drew Bannister when asked why Jordan Kyrou did not get on the ice for the final 4 minutes and 38 seconds of regulation.
I'm putting players out there right now that, you know, we want to make sure that we get at least the point, and it has nothing to Jordan. I thought Jordan played great. You know, I thought the team played great, and, you know, I wanted to make sure that, you know, we made sure we got the first point and then hopefully get it to overtime. And obviously, you know, Jordan's great in overtime. So, but overall, you know, I thought all the guys played extremely well.
Okay. A lot of things bother me on that. A lot of things bother me on what he said there. First off, You hold one of your top players off the ice for essentially 5 minutes when the game is tied, and it's a very valid question to be asked why you are doing that, and you don't say anything critical about that player.
I'm putting players out there right now that, you know, we want to make sure that we get at least the point, and it has nothing to Jordan. I thought Jordan played great.
So you had the opportunity. He started going down that path. I'm putting players on the ice, and he started to say it, and then he stopped, and he said good stuff about Jordan Kyrou. He would not actually address why Kyrou wasn't on the ice. And then the other thing that really bothers me is what he said they were doing right there. They were trying to preserve the tie. They wanted to make sure that they at least got the point. That's not what I want a hockey coach saying right now. You're playing a not very good team in Buffalo. Go for the win. Go for the win. You're holding back to try to preserve the tie so you can get to overtime and then try to win. Oh, we'll win later. We don't need to win now. We'll win later. No, win now. Win now. Like, I don't think I'm saying anything shocking here. Win the hockey game now. Put your best players on the ice to win the game now. If you lose the game, you know what? I'm killing you anyway. But still, at least I have more respect for you than not even going for the win at the end. Like, I hate that. Yesterday, we were so critical, or maybe 2 days ago, we were so critical of the players in the game before, talking about how they were holding back in the third period because they had the lead against Boston. And, you know, just the idea that you would play tentative or you would play back on your heels, try to preserve the lead, preserve the win, and not be aggressive. And I was upset about the player saying that. I'm not the only one who was upset about players saying that. Well, now, like, how should I be upset about the player saying that? Because the coach is saying that. The coach is admitting the fact that they were just playing for the tie through regulation. Of course the players are going to follow that lead. That's not the attitude I want from a leader. A leader needs to go out and win the stinking game. And is there going to be times where that comes back and bites you in the backside and you get no points instead of getting one? Yeah, that's going to happen. But in the grand scheme of things, when you play to win, you win more games. I don't think I'm saying anything shocking there. You play to win, you win more games. Don't tell me that you're taking Jordan Kyrou off the ice because you wanted to at least secure a point, that you don't want one of your top goal scorers on the ice. Well, he may turn the puck over, so let's keep him off the ice. I don't like that decision. I like less the way Drew Bannister talked about it. If he really thinks the best decision is to keep Kyrou off the ice for the final 4 minutes and 40 of regulation, like, I will defer to his hockey knowledge. But if the reason you're doing that is because you're just skating for a point in the final few minutes, that's where I take a very, very big issue with it. And just admit what you're doing. Say, you know what? We don't trust Jordan Kyrou late in games. He turns the puck over. He's a defensive liability, so we didn't have him on the ice. At least say that. I'm frustrated. We'll see. Am I right or wrong on this? I'm going to throw all of this at Luke Korak. Luke Korak is, he covers the team on an everyday basis. He's a super smart guy. I defer to his hockey knowledge over mine so often. I'll be interested to hear what Lou has to say to my take on this whole thing. We'll do that next with Lou here on KMOX.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We're about to bring Luke Horak on, and Lou's job today is to walk me off of the ledge because I am very frustrated about this Blues team, and I'm frustrated in some things that are being said by head coach Drew Bannister. Lou is cool, calm, collective, knows the game as well as anybody. You follow him on Twitter at LCorak10. You read him at NHL.com, also at the Hockey News. He joins us right now. Lou, I always appreciate your time. How are you?
Well, Matt, I'm good. I hope you're not looking for a psychiatrist, because if you are, boy, I don't know if I'm going to earn the bang for the buck here.
We'll see, because I'll tell you what, like I don't want to relitigate this, but my frustration started to build up when they had just that terrible loss, and then Drew Bannister just wants to talk about line changes. Like that started to get me frustrated. And then what I do really want to talk about with you is what was said last night. And I do think that when I saw it written down, you know, Matthew DeFranks tweeted out the quote, when I heard Bannister say it later, I felt like it wasn't quite as bad listening to it as reading it. But the idea that Bannister would not play Kyrou in the final 438 of regulation, but then really wouldn't explain why. And then also the idea that he openly admitted that they were just playing for a point there at the end of regulation and not really going for the win, but just trying to force overtime, and they would try to start winning the game again in overtime. Like, that doesn't sit well with me. Am I right or wrong to feel that way?
Well, when you look at the big picture, look at it this way. And it goes back even before this season. So somebody that's watched Jordan Kyrou since he's been in the league, but let's just go back to within the last couple of weeks. We saw what happened in Philadelphia, where he overskates a puck in a neutral zone, and what, 5 seconds later, it leads to a go-ahead goal. When you virtually, that game, you played well enough to at least earn a point, maybe even two, and you get nothing. Same thing happens in the Utah game a week ago, Thursday. Tie game, probably a game you had no business even being in, but you were. The bottom line is you were, and there's a Jordan Kyrou turnover on a drop pass, 3 minutes left in the game, you get nothing out of it. And I know he doesn't explain in those terms, but I think people that are watching, people that follow this team can read between the lines that you have to kind of earn that trust back again. And when you're talking about a Jordan Kyrou, we're not talking about a Zach Bolduc here or even somebody that's, you know, even like a Dylan Holloway, who, you know, going into the season is pushing on playing, that hasn't even played 100 games in the NHL. You're talking about 26 years old, 350 plus games here. We're not talking about a young kid anymore. So that was the messaging to me, and I understand it. I know exactly. That was basically his way of saying, we can't afford to try this again, because we honestly, you know, you at least left 2 points on the table in those two games, potentially four. So you have to figure out who you are here. If you're the Blues, do you want to be a playoff team, or do you want to be somebody that wants to allow these kids to grow, allow these guys to get in these experience, get in the situations where you're gaining this experience? I think that's what they're trying to figure out, who they are here. And I think by that message last night to me is they still feel like they want to compete, and they want to push for the playoffs. And the message to me was, we have to get at least 1 point here. Jordan Kyrou did play well enough in that game last night. He really did. I mean, he almost won the game for him. He put a dent in the post where he basically almost put the puck through the post. It was a great shot. It just didn't go in. But I think that was just basically their way of saying, we don't trust you in this situation right now, because we can't afford to have you playing hero hockey in this moment where you're going to try to do all this yourself. We want to at least get this to a position where, okay, if it gets to 3-on-3, now we're going to put you out there. We trust you in the 3-on-3 situation. Go try to help us get another point. That's basically what the message was to me, even though maybe it wasn't conveyed that way.
I'm getting nitpicky here. I know I'm doing it, and I don't like that I'm doing it, but I'm going to do it anyways. Can't you put Kyrou on the bench for the final 4:38, but then also not say after the game that you were just trying to get the point? Like, I just think that statement, I don't think sits well.
Yeah, I can understand that, but if I think maybe he comes out and gains a little bit more credibility there if he basically says, look, just the situations that I explained to you here, this is what we've had happen here, and we're trying to hold players accountable. Remember what he did with Pavel Buchnevich last year? I mean, I think it was a game against Tampa. He gets 3 minor penalties in the one game, and Drew Bannister holds him accountable for it. And I think if he just if he's a little bit more forthcoming with this, saying, look, these are the situations we were in recently. He made a couple of mistakes that cost us points. This is why. And I think people would understand that a little bit more. But by basically just saying, you know, we're trying to get the point here. Yeah, I can understand on both sides of the coin, you know, well, which way are you going with this here? So I do understand where you're coming from here. But to be honest with you, from my perspective and the way I've watched this and what I saw in those games and in those moments from a guy that, again, 300-plus games of experience and is not a kid anymore. He's 26 years old. I understand what they were doing there. I just don't like you, I think if there's a little bit more conveyed there, you're probably having even a different feeling about this right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that totally. The other frustrating thing is the way they handled the final 35 seconds of regulation, because immediately Buffalo knew that they just wanted to hold on to that puck and then get a 2-minute 4-on-3 in overtime. And lo and behold, the winning goal scores about 90 seconds in. So if the Blues attack right away, maybe the guys back off, maybe it looks a little bit different. It really felt like in that moment, the Blues didn't know what was going on and how to approach that situation.
Yeah, that's one of those, Matt, to be honest with you, where, yeah, it's kind of one of those in the moment things where you really don't think about that, because those situations don't happen very often. First of all, you got Oscar Sundquist out in that situation, and I understand the intent, and I get that this guy plays as hard as anybody on this team. Didn't like putting yourself in that position to get a penalty there to begin with. I mean, you're late in the game. Play it safe. You already know what you're doing. You've already sent the message that, you know, we're not going to have Kyrou on the ice at the end of the game here. We don't want to at least lose a point out of this again, because it's happened quite frequently here. So just keep yourself in a situation where, okay, this is going to get to overtime. Let's play 3-on-3 hockey. We've been good in 3-on-3 hockey. They've already won twice there. They've already taken the second point in the game. Let's go at it again, because they have actually in 3-on-3, they have the firepower that they've got guys that are go-getters that are going to go out there and get it. But he put them in the situation where now, you know, it's a delayed penalty. In the moment, you probably want those guys to get aggressive to try to get a stoppage of play here. So they have to use up at least whatever they can, because I believe it came with, what, 59 seconds left or something like that?
Yeah.
So go after them. Force them to use as much time as they can at the end of the game, take your chances there, because I get it. You know, you could still lose the game in the last minute, but I think in their, from their perspective, they probably are thinking, oh boy, let's not give up a power play goal here in the last minute of the game. Again, we're thinking, let's get at least a point out of this and we'll take our chances. But doing it that way is almost like a double-edged sword, because now you have to defend 4-on-3 for an entire 2 minutes.
And Drew Bannister said multiple times in his post-game press conference yesterday that he thought the team played well, thought they played better. Do you agree? Like, was that despite everything that we're talking about, was that a overall better effort last night?
It was. I can just speak from a third period here, and I'll just go there. I didn't think they played, and you heard what they talked about after the Boston game, that they played too safe. I don't think they played, quote-unquote, too safe last night. They actually outshot Buffalo, I think it was, 8-6? And they had opportunities. Again, they had good opportunities to, just like Nathan Walker did on Tuesday night. If you remember that situation, they're up 2-0, and Nathan Walker's, he dings the post. If that goes in and it's 3-0, we're probably not even talking about this right now. Again, last night, they had opportunities, Kyrou being one of them, where it's just a fraction of the puck either going in or out. And they had those opportunities again last night. It didn't happen. I didn't particularly care for the way that they defended when Buffalo got the tying goal. I thought they gave up the neutral zone a little bit too frequently there and too easily, where they were able to gain the zone. And obviously Buffalo makes a nice play to get the tying goal. I just didn't care for the way they defended it. But any way you look at that, it's still 3-3, and I thought they managed the game as well as can be. Once it got to be 3-3, then they were trying to go after and win the game, as opposed to Tuesday night, where they were just basically on their heels the whole period, and they completely flipped the switch on what was working for them, and that's why they lost that game.
Lou Korak covers the Blues for NHL.com, also the hockey news. Lou, you are the best. You walked me off the edge a little bit, and I appreciate that.
That's good to hear, Matt. Always good to talk to you, too.
All right, very good. Lou Korak joining us here on the program. Appreciate him taking a few moments. I guess I'm more understanding after talking to Lou what the plan was. I am not more the message needs to be delivered differently, and something I've said a few times lately. Look, Bannister hasn't dealt with media in big situations like this. He's been a minor league coach, so maybe it's not fair of me to dissect every word that he says because it's just something that he hasn't done a lot of, and maybe he'll get better at it moving forward. When we come back, some guy who doesn't have a problem with the media, Anthony Becht, is so good talking with the media. He is the Battlehawks head coach, and the Battlehawks, they made an interesting decision today, moving on from quarterback A.J. McCarron. We'll find out why in just a moment here on KMOX. Yeah, we got the Gas House Gang coming your way this evening at 8 o'clock. It's myself and Bernie Miklas, and we get into a lot of things, talk some Cardinals baseball. Kevin Wheeler is going to join us in about an hour or so, talk a lot of things with him as well. So we've got a lot still coming up. Bit of a, I wouldn't say it was surprising, but I guess the way it was announced was a little bit surprising. Not like the mechanism via press conference, just the way it's being described. We found out today that A.J. McCarron, who has done an amazing job as the Battlehawks quarterback in the last 2 years, is not going to be back with the team next year. When it first kind of came down that that's what was happening, my thought was that McCarron is either calling it quits, or McCarron wanted just an opportunity to more pursue something in the NFL, like whatever. And Anthony Becht did a Zoom call with the media and kind of went through it. And the messaging was just a little bit different than what I was expecting. Not good or bad, not better or worse, just different. This is Becht earlier today making the announcement that A.J. McCarron is no longer a Battlehawk.
AJ and our team right now are separating from each other. We're moving in a different direction. Really, really just thankful for what AJ has done for our team. Thankful for what AJ has done for our organization, and just really excited about his future and ours. I think for us, you know, right now, as we look at it, you know, we really just want to bring in another player to help develop. Our league is about opportunity. Our league is about helping players grow. When I recruited AJ the first year, I was hoping to get 1 year out of it. And that's what I got. And we helped him get to the league, back to the league, be a backup. Getting him a second year was a bonus year. And at that point in my mind, I was like, all right, we'll go two seasons. He's able to come back. So, you know, now we want to help develop someone else. And we feel really good about it. We wanted to make sure that AJ had plenty of time to, if he wants to continue to play or go wherever he wants to go or not play, that's his choice. And he has plenty of time to do that. And then for us, you just kind of let, you know, the potential options that we have or anyone out there that, you know, the opportunity is open. So, you know, this is just more of a tribute kind of to AJ and super thankful for what he's done for our organization. I think, you know, right now it's just for us. And for me, it's time for us to give someone else a chance.
Yeah, so that's I don't know if that's surprising. Again, in many, the UFL is kind of in this weird spot where they do need to be about development. They do need to bring guys in, giving guys the opportunity to either get to the NFL or get back to the NFL. But it's also a league about winning. It's not just this is not a minor league baseball team that's just all about development. That winning matters as well. And AJ McCarron obviously did an incredible job in his first couple seasons. So I don't know. Like, I just, if McCarron would have wanted to come back, and I don't know if he would have wanted to or not, my thought process was always that the team would give him the opportunity to come back. And now that seems like maybe that's not what they're going to do, but the opportunity to give another quarterback the opportunity to develop, give another quarterback the opportunity to get to the NFL. And who knows, maybe even go out there. This is a really good job. This is a really good job. Being the quarterback for the St. Louis Battlehawks is probably the best non-NFL professional football job available from a player standpoint, right? Like, I don't, what's better outside of the NFL domestically, where, what's better than being the quarterback for the team that draws more and has better fan support and has a really good coach and a really good support system and everything about it? Like, that's this is a great job. And I am interested to see who they might bring in. They do have a couple quarterbacks who are on the roster. You get the feeling, the indication that they will open it up to possibly bring somebody else in. I have a feeling that the starting quarterback for the Battlehawks is somebody who's not currently on the roster. But one way or another, Beck did say that there will be a quarterback competition.
And I'm trying to create competition across the board. You know, everybody, every player has been evaluated. You know, the quarterback position is, you know, we have the rights still to Manny and Brandon, but, you know, we haven't sent them LOIs. We're evaluating everyone. So AJ's a little different just because, you know, this isn't performance-based. This is just, you know, us going in a different direction you know, really kind of trying to, you know, change the team up a little bit. So I know St. Louis fans will be obviously disappointed in the beginning and hearing this, but you know, when we brought him in, no one knew what he would do or what the team would do. You know, we feel real good about it. And I just asked the fan base to just trust me on this one and believe in the process. And again, we got a lot of good players we've signed. We got a lot more coming, and we got some great nucleus of guys that are still part of the team.
He says something there that he says he asks the fans to trust him on this one. And to me, and I'm not always the most trusting person in the world, I don't always just take everything for face value. That's not who I am or what I believe in. But for me, Anthony Becht and this organization has certainly shown enough in their first couple years to earn that grace. And you don't completely understand the decision. You had a really good quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, who led you to a lot of wins, and you're making the decision to move on from him on a surface level. There, that seems like an odd decision, but if Anthony Becht says, you know what, I'm just asking the fans to trust me on this one, well, for the time being, I'll trust them, and we'll see who they end up bringing in. Becht is very excited about the different options that will be available at quarterback.
I mean, we're going to look at everything, Greg. You know, a young player, a younger NFL quarterback, a preseason cut guy. We're going to look at our own guys that we had last year. I mean, we really like Manny and Brandon both. I mean, they're all part of the discussion. So we feel good about this process. Okay, we're going to have what we think we believe in moving forward, and we're just going to give somebody else a chance, man. Like, this is what this league is about. Like, somebody gave me a chance to be a coach in this league. Do you guys don't understand how many players call me, text me, DM me every day that just want one seat in the building, right? One seat in our league. And it's like, man, like, I get it. Like, and I answer those calls. I answer those text messages. And again, I just, you know, how can we help? And we'll continue to do that through all our positions. And that won't change for the quarterback position as well.
That is Anthony Becht. He's the head coach of the Battlehawks. We'll see if we can maybe get him on this show here in the next week or two, talk to him a little bit about the offseason going into the season, and figure out where this team is going to go at with the quarterback position. But a major change. I mean, A.J. McCarron has been, from a player standpoint, he has been the face of the team. There's been nobody that has been more connected to the Battlehawks than A.J. McCarron, and has done a great job in the way he was able to give into the community. I met A.J. last year. We were doing he came over to a Cardinals game. It was Battlehawks night. And, I mean, this was a guy who was as genuine and so happy to be a member of the team and be part of the St. Louis community. I know from a charitable standpoint, he did a lot of things. I saw him record like a video for someone who was going through a health issue. And, man, he was all in on recording a video. I saw him sign something for someone who was going through a bit of a health issue. And it wasn't just it was a hat or something that was he was signing. He didn't just sign it his name or whatever. Like, he found out the guy's name and what they were going through and wrote him a full note on it, like giving him encouragement and giving him good luck. So he's somebody who just, as a human being, man, did he jump off the page in every way, shape, or form. And then he followed that up by being a really, really good quarterback. And when you think of, you know, nothing against what he's done as an NFL quarterback, but when you think of who A.J. McCarron is and his ability, what he did as a college quarterback and the program he was associated with, I mean, he's got it made. As most legendary SEC quarterbacks do, you know, they've got the rest of their life taken care of if they need it that way. And that was McCarron, and he kept playing, and it'll be interesting to see. He said multiple times that the only team in the UFL that he was going to come back to the league for was the Battlehawks. He said that last year. Does that change a little bit? Does he want to keep playing? Is he ready to transition to the next step of his football career? Is he somebody who wants to get into TV? Is he somebody that wants to coach a little bit? Is he somebody who's going to try to make more of a concerted effort to get one more NFL opportunity before all is said and done? I don't know. I don't know the answers to that question. I just know that when you think about individuals who have impacted professional teams in St. Louis, there has been nobody more impactful specifically to the Battlehawks than A.J. McCarron. And it's going to be a little bit different now with the team moving forward. Again, at the same time, Anthony Becht says trust him. We'll trust him, and we'll watch who they end up bringing in and what this upcoming season is going to end up looking like. We'll take one more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. We'll look ahead a little bit to the college football weekend. We'll do that in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are back at it here on KMOX. Have you till 8 o'clock this evening. This evening at 8 o'clock, we'll have the Gas House Gang, which comes your way every weekday evening. You can always watch it live, by the way, if you're looking for maybe you've got a job and you take your lunch break and you're always looking a way to kind of decompress in the middle of your lunch break. Well, we've got the Gas House Gang. You can watch it. It is a video show where on Mondays, myself, Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, and Bernie Miklas, all four of us, and then the other four days of the week, the four of us partner off. So for today, it's me and Bernie Miklas, and that's going to be coming your way on a replay coming up this evening at 8 o'clock. So it runs as a radio show in the evening at 8 o'clock, and it's a video program on streaming earlier in the day. You just follow along. Maybe YouTube is the place to go. That would be my suggestion for you. And you can follow KMOX Sports on YouTube, and you can subscribe where you can get a notification whenever we do go live on an each and every day basis. Nice honor handed out, really a couple honors being handed out yesterday to Cardinals closer Ryan Helsley. It was the end of season Major League Baseball awards being held in Las Vegas. Helsley was there. He was named the Trevor Hoffman Award winner. That's the top reliever in the National League. And he also earns a spot on the All-MLB team as well after he put together 49 saves this past year. Tops in Major League Baseball. Also had an NL best conversion rate of 92.5%. Just put together one heck of a season. The Cardinals are still saying, and this has been reported everywhere. Derek Gould wrote a story about this in the Post-Dispatch and on STL Today, that right now the Cardinals don't have a plan to trade Ryan Helsley. That's the reporting. It's not that I don't believe that. I do. But I also, there's always that caveat that they have to be wowed by an offer. I think they're going to be wowed by an offer. I think at some point in time, there's going to be a team out there that's going to offer the Cardinals something that they just cannot refuse, considering where they're at as a club right now. I'm not sitting here rooting for Ryan Helsley to get traded. I thought the greatest strength that the Cardinals had this year, the fact that they were able to win as many games as they did, the fact that they were able to have a winning record, the fact that they were in playoff contention for almost all of the season, the reason all of those things happened to me was when they did get the lead late in games, they were able to hold on to it. And it started with Ryan Helsley. Give credit to the other high leverage relievers who pitched late in games that were close that the Cardinals were winning. Obviously, Andrew Kittredge and JoJo Romero, Ryan Fernandez pitched himself into a high leverage role. Matthew Liberatore pitched himself into a high leverage role as well. But it all started with Ryan Helsley, and he put together one of the great years for a Cardinals relief pitcher, and now he picks up this honor as being named the top relief pitcher in the National League, and rightfully so. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. There are multiple relief pitchers that are going to be available, made by teams. The other really super high-level guy is St. Louis and Devin Williams, who plays for the Brewers, and all indications are that the Brewers are going to look to trade him. So I'm sure John Mozeliak and company are having the exact same conversations that Matt Arnold, who runs the Brewers baseball operation, that he's having. I got to think that teams that are interested in Helsley are likely interested in Williams, and it might just be a who blinks first kind of situation with a potential trade. But again, the Cardinals say that they have to be wowed for a trade to actually happen. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line. We're back after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.